It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you this morning?
Morena, not too bad, thank you.
Thanks for speaking with us. Obviously, we've seen some big announcements in the last couple of weeks, and the COVID protection framework is what we're going to spend a bit of time talking about. Now, we have seen some criticism from this workshop group of about 30 scientists, and there's household names now, like Dr. Rawiri Jansen, Professor Michael Baker, Associate Professor Colin Tukitonga, and they've provided feedback to the government on this protection framework, and they have got some big reservations about the system as it stands. How is the government going to address their criticisms and the implementation of the plan when we do see it roll out?
Well, actually, many of those. So the reason we held that workshop before we introduced it was so that we could get feedback and make changes before we announced it. And so one of their reservations was moving into it too soon, and they suggested, including Professor David Skegg, suggested that 90% target before moving into it. Others were concerned about equity issues, which is why we chose a DHB by DHB target. So each DHB needing to hit the 90% is a way to make sure we have good vaccination coverage, and also as part of our efforts to lift Māori vaccination rates. And also they wanted specific focus there, which is why we put extra funding in there as well. They also expressed a desire to still have the ability, if required, to use localised lockdowns. And that's if you have pockets or communities where you've got low vaccination rates and there's an outbreak in those areas. And we have kept that as part of the system too. So I think you'll see that, you know, that won't have satisfied everyone, but I know that for a number, that has made a considerable difference, and I know indeed Professor Skegg has spoken about his support for the changes that are being made.
One of the things that we haven't seen implemented from that feedback that was given is a specific target for more vulnerable groups like Māori and Pacifica. Why haven't we got those specific vaccination targets?
Well, the first thing I'd say is I can't speak as to whether or not every single member of those groups necessarily supported individualised targets. What I do know is that everyone has supported lifting those rates. And that is a desire of the government as well. Absolutely. We want to accelerate those rates because, as we've seen, we've got some high rates amongst some age groups but not others. Pacific rates are actually are doing really well and are reasonably high or very close to general population rates. Where we are lagging at the moment is in that middle group for, you know, the 12 plus up to about 40 of Māori vaccination rates. Those are the areas we need to be really focused on lifting those rates. We chose to do a DHB target because, you know, in many areas you can't hit that 90% without lifting those rates. You know, you have to make sure that you're lifting those efforts across the board if you're going to reach those kinds of numbers. But at the same time, we're also resourcing and putting in that extra funding to support the Māori providers who are saying we're doing the mahi on the ground. We just don't want to be reliant on DHBs, for instance, necessarily to be able to support those rollouts. So that's why we've got direct funding to help there too.
A rooting into Tiriti has been a big part of what people have been asking for. How is the government going to ensure that what we do see is directly rooted into Tiriti moving forward?
Our whole focus has been that we have to make sure that we're not just... Actually, if we'd taken an approach of saying, well, we'll just make sure that we've got accessible vaccination centres all across the country and therefore, you know, equal access, that actually has never, in our view, been enough. Right from the beginning of the rollout, for instance, we said that we wanted to take a whānau-based approach so that if we, even though we had limited supply right at the beginning, you'll remember we couldn't roll out to everyone in the beginning, we only had limited numbers. We knew COVID affected our older people more than others. But even then, we said, well, for Māori and to our Māori providers, take a whānau-based approach. So if you've got an older member of the family come in, vaccinate the whole family. And so that was the kind of flexibility we built into the system, even when we didn't have large number of vaccinations available. And that's been the kind of approach we've tried to take all the way through.
Some Māori health providers, like Whānau Ora, are calling for DHBs to produce ethnic breakdowns in the vaccination data. We did see some of this on Super Saturday. What are we going to be seeing moving forward? Is that something we can expect?
Well, we already do that. So you can already... there's already that level of data available. That's how I'm able to share, as I often do, those age groups where we do have really high rates. as an example of how I absolutely believe that we can achieve those high rates across the board. But yes, that's already data that's provided.
We are seeing that some particularly isolated rural communities and some Māori communities are being affected by this as well, are still struggling with access issues to getting into clinics to get vaccinated. Are we going to see more of the on-the-ground, door-knocking, face-to-face kind of vaccination efforts that we've seen helmed by some iwi groups and some whānau groups too?
That's already happening up and down the country. What we need to do is make sure that we're resourcing it to happen, to be able to occur at scale. So a couple of weeks ago, I was up in, you know, I went from Murupara through up through Flaxmere, Wairoa, up through into Gisborne and then Uruotoria. In each of those areas, they designed vaccination programs that met the needs of their communities. So everything from the use of camper vans. In Tairawhiti, they have horse floats that they've been using. In Gisborne, they have been going door to, they have started going street by street. We're basically trying to pull out all the stops to make sure that we're not just stationary anymore. We are now in the group where we need to be having conversations as well and be taking vaccinations to people.
We're going to be soon moving into this new model of more centralised health provision in Aotearoa. What's that going to do to our vaccination rollout? Obviously, we'll be sort of slightly further down the track at that point, but is there consideration going into what it's going to look like when we do start to move away from the DHB system more broadly in healthcare?
There is. In fact, you know, I think that's actually one of the things that people talk to me about in a really positive way. Because the way that we've been working, you know, and there's lots of positive examples of the way the vaccination rollout has worked, where we have, you know, at a local level, had our health workforce joining with Māori and Pacific providers in ways that has never happened before. I'll give you an example. Down in Christchurch, I visited a vaccination centre that was running out of a mall. It was a joint project between a local pharmacy, a Pacific provider and a Māori provider. It was working really, really well. You know, we had the Māori provider were going out and providing transport to the vaccination centre. And the point that they made was actually this is the model for how they want to work in the future, making sure that they, you know, they have the support and the resource, but they are able to collaborate themselves and design their own delivery programs as well. And that is very much the way we hope that we'll be able to operate in the future.
Now, to talk a little bit about something, I guess it's related to COVID, everything's related to COVID, but it is its own thing. This is this big housing agreement that we saw announced last week, a bipartisan agreement between National and the government. How is this announcement going to be helping first home buyers particularly?
Well, basically everything that we do to ensure that we are increasing supply has that effect. And one of the concerns that we've had is, you know, you will have heard a bit about the national policy statement on urban development that we believe, you know, putting that requirement on councils to make sure that they are meeting population growth in their areas. The changes that we're looking to make here will speed that up, but also actually just removing some of the hurdles for intensification as well in a wider range of areas. So that's what we've agreed to. And look, that is something that Labor could have done on its own. We had the ability to, but our view was actually what's going to smooth the path for changes like this is if we work collaboratively with others, which is why we made that call to work with the National Party on that change.
We did see some mayors around the country, particularly Andy Foster in Wellington, saying that they felt a little bit taken aback, that they felt a little bit left out of this conversation. Is that something that's being worked on now, talking with those spaces to see how this will be implemented moving forward?
Yeah, well, of course, as I said, some of the changes were actually speeding up some of the things that we're already looking to do. But at the same time, you know, I would have thought we haven't seen necessarily that has meant that it's been negatively received. And, you know, I don't know that it necessarily should have come as a surprise because we've been flagging for some time that we wanted to try and remove these kinds of barriers.
Whenever we talk about housing, we do always inevitably come back to renting as well. So many New Zealanders in this renting situation. Do you expect that these announcements will have a material impact on the situation of those who are renting in New Zealand at the moment?
Well, yeah, and again, that is where supply matters. You know, if we have more supply in our rental market, more housing supply generally, then that absolutely has an impact on affordability. So over time, yes, I do expect it to have an impact. In fact, taken together, the range of different changes that we've made to housing have been significant, and taken together over time will have an effect. I think COVID has had, you know, there has been, we've seen around the world, people gravitating towards housing as an investment option. It's not just in New Zealand where that's been happening. We have tried to change up the playing field so that when people are making those kinds of decisions, you know, they're not just looking at housing, so that we can make it more accessible for our first home buyers. You know, we think that's made a difference as well, but it is fair to say it will take time to ultimately change up what has been a problem that has been growing for decades.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate you speaking with us. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Thanks very much. Ka kite.
Ka kite. Take care.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.